This is our pre-show. It is your good buddy Phil here. And announcement to my pre-show guys. We're going to be doing, we're filling in afternoon drive on KK, I don't know what, KKSF, is that it? In San Francisco, 910. We thank those kind people for entrusting us with their afternoon drive slot for Monday. And we do appreciate them reaching out to us and saying, Phil, would you like to do some fill-in here in San Francisco? Sure. Sure. It gives us an opportunity to spread the good word of our digital show, of our downloads, of our one-man show that we'll be doing in March, and all the other neat things that we have planned and in store for you. So that's on Monday. That's in San Francisco. If you're watching us in San Francisco right now, you're listening to the pre-show in San Francisco, we are going to be with you Monday at 3 o'clock. And the honest appraisal of all of that is the following. You know, 3 fucking hours of this? Jesus Christ. I mean, that's going to be a that's going to be a marathon. Yeah? You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a fucking marathon, man. I've done I haven't done 3 hours of this shit. Well, yes, I have. Well, not really. Well, I don't know. Who fucking knows? You know, all I know is that I made the decision that what I want to do is have a ball. You know, my new philosophy is live every day like you're on vacation. Now, that's what I don't mean by that is just piss off every fucking day. No. No, that's not what you do. You take care of life, you take care of business, but you do it as if you are surrounded, as if you are relaxing, man, as if you are with the minds. I don't give a fuck if you're in the snowbound, the snowbound hinterlands of Maine or Montana or Alberta. It doesn't matter. You can still get up every morning and look at the world like you're on vacation, man. Like, oh, I got this to do and I got that to do. And I got a couple of other things. When I'm done with that, though, you know, we will continue. It's kind of like when you're on vacation, don't you still have to go and make sure that the hotel bill is right? Yeah. And don't you still have to make sure that your plane reservations are correct? Sure. And don't you have to still have to go and make sure that, you know, all of your travel documents are in order? And there's always some shit you got to do. But surrounding all of that is the enjoyment of life. That's what you got to do. Now, you can say, oh, that's what all you old motherfuckers say. Got that fucking right. You want to know why? Because we already beat our fucking heads into the cement, man. We figured it out. You keep on, you know, be my guest. You keep right on jamming your goddamn head in that fucking brick wall. And you come back and you say hi to me. Yeah, I see guys that are worth millions that haven't figured that one out. Millions they haven't figured that one out. I see guys that are worth millions in their 20s. They ain't figured that one out. You know, right when you ought to really be enjoying your life, those guys think that enjoying their lives is killing a bunch of brain cells. That's fine. That's part of it. Sure, I still do that. But it ain't the whole kid and caboodle. All right, so now today, what we're going to do is, I think I might have made a note of it here on the website. God damn it. Did I not? Well, I know that we're going to have that guy from the Voodoo Rugs, I forget his name. The fuck is the dude from Voodoo Rugs, man? What is your name, man?
Well, you're talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Well, I'm the manager of Voodoo Rugs, and, well, my name is Gary Happenstein. My name is Gary Cook. My name is Gary Park. My name is Gary Pyle. My name is Gary Pipe. My name is Gary Pipe.
Gary Pipe, that's your name?
Yeah, it's not my name. It's my name.
All right, so Gary Pipe.
I feel so. You know, I feel this is Bob Green. So I want to be clear. This guy Gary Pipe that you have on your program, and the guy that you got on your program, Gary Pipe, is that his name?
Yes, Gary Pipe.
All right. So here's what I wanted to say to you.
Well, I think that.
Here's what I wanted to say. The guy Gary Pipe that you've got on your program.
All right. Gary Pipe is going to join us from the Voodoo, from Voodoo Rugs. Gary Pipe joins us from Voodoo Rugs.
what we want to do is go on Voodoo Rugs, and Voodoo Rugs is willing to commit a fairly significant dollar amount if you want to go, if you want to be on terrestrial radio. We're willing to a significant amount.
All right, so you're willing to donate,
not donate, but we're willing to spend.
Yeah, you sound like you're a little kid.
Well, if you want to know what a little kid I am, we can meet, you know, and you can figure that out then.
And you don't want to tell me how tall you are?
No, I will not.
Why can't we ask you how tall you are?
Because that's got nothing to do with it, Bryson. But why did I ask you how? It's as significant as if I was to ask you how large is your penis. And I don't want to ask that.
Oh, God, Phil, I don't want to talk about this kind of thing.
Gary, because you're not...
Well, he's asked me how tall I am.
That's got nothing to do with the size of a man's penis.
I wouldn't, you know, that's what you say. In my world, it's a different thing.
In your world, it's different.
Yeah, in my world, it's different. Yeah, that's right. I have a different world.
So Gary Pipe, who is the manager of Voodoo Rugs, that's what he sounds like, and he wants to sponsor me only if I go up terrestrial, and all our he will not allow questions. About his height, weight, or age. He is an adult. Now, then the other guy that comes on is Bob Green. Comes on. And Bob Green's going to get a little snooty. He's going to get a little hurt. He's going to get a little cranky. Because this Gary Pipe seems to be, kind of muscling in on his territory. We now have four significant sponsors on this show who actually, they're by blocks of time. Ted's of Beverly Hills. Fraser Foods. God damn it. Je t'aime lingerie and Voodoo Rugs. God, look at there's Vince Lombardi. There's Vince Lombardi. Ah, shit, you missed it. Ah, fuck, what were you doing, man? I showed you Vince Lombardi, you missed it. No. Well, there's something that's on the tube right now. There's old Vince. This is a really good documentary. It's called Football Life. God damn it. Yeah, there's Vince. It's called Football Life. It's on ESPN. I love it. I tape all of these, and I try to catch them all. This is the one for Vince Lombardi. I read his biography called When Pride Mattered. Really great. Here is Army. And this is when Vince Lombardi was the assistant coach at Army. And that's Jerry Eisenberg with the Newark whatever the fuck. And there's Army. So that's West Point, and that's where Vince Lombardi was a... assistant coach, and I forget, Red Blake was the name of his head coach for Army. And Lombardi was this was a significant period in his life, in the history of his coaching experience, because this is the first coach that he ever worked with that broke down game film. There's Lombardi on the right. This guy was really into game film. See, there it is. And Lombardi, one of Lombardi's jobs when he was at West Point, believe it or not, was to take the game film from that weekend's games and to take it down to New York City by way of train or however and go to the hotel where Douglas MacArthur was staying. I guess Douglas MacArthur called it a sort of quasi-semi-residence. And gave MacArthur the game film, the Army game, and I think sat and watched it with him. MacArthur was very interested, and there's Vince Lombardi's son. Boy, he doesn't look much like his old man, does he? Anyway, part of his job was to sit and watch this, because Douglas MacArthur had a keen interest in Army football. This is Vince Lombardi's brother, who's gay, by the way. That is his gay brother. That's his wife. There's Vince Lombardi's wife. But that was Vince Lombardi's brother, who is is gay, and it is the reason why Lombardi was particularly sensitive to the gay players on his team. He knew who they were, and he did not want them hassled. He didn't want them roughed up or laughed at or anything. And this is all in the book, by the way. And Lombardi made a point of protecting a couple of the players on his team that he knew, on the Green Bay Packers, that he knew were gay players. And I don't want to mention the name. I think one of them was I better not say unless I know for sure, because, you know, nonetheless, he was a tight end. And yeah, okay, go ahead and make your jokes about that, but that's the truth. That's true. There's Lombardi there as a West Point coach. So, and Lombardi's brother, I got to remember what his brother's name was. Howard. His brother's name was Howard. Howard just passed on, if I'm not mistaken. And Howard was living his life as a gay man at a time when it was probably really tough. And Vince Lombardi, of all people, you know, because I think his public image is one of, obviously it's machismo and it's traditional and it's, you know, man's man and all that bullshit. I don't think a lot of Lombardi fans know that about his family, or they know that about him, that he was really a great man when it came to, a very progressive man when it came to gay rights. And that came to him as the result of his family experience. And I want to say the name Marv Fleming, and if I'm wrong, then I apologize. He's not out, but I think it's Marv Fleming was one of the players on the Packers that Vince Lombardi was vocal in protecting from any kind of harassment, you know, and that kind of thing. All right, so. Bob Bacon comes on. Bob Green then will come on. And then what do we want to do? Want to wrap it up, huh? I think that's... that sounds like a really decent fucking...
You better be good to me. That's how it's got to be. Because you don't understand the things that you and I do. You better be good to me.
All right, man. I was looking for the, here's a, no, I'm just kidding. It's going to show you, what are we doing? You don't need to see this shit. What I'm looking for is some pictures to, aha, oh, we already did that one. Look at this goddamn O'Reilly picture. You loving this shit? Let's get this thing blown up. There he is, there's Bill O'Reilly. That was the hairstyle then, man. Yeah, I know I went full screen. Get out of here, you motherfucker. What in the fuck happened here? There we go. Look at that. Man, that's what I call just big head. Dun, dun, dun. Hi, I'm Bill. I had hair like that. When I had hair, I had my hair in that kind of a... See, I'm using the pointer here. This kind of whoop. This little swoop here. The very feathered covering of the ears, very nice. And then, you know, the clear eyes. This was before O'Reilly was really hitting the bottle. Before things before success really came his way, and he was closing out every night with a serious, you know, malted, single malted and double malted, you know, the like. And so he... Plus his, the Boilermakers, in other words. I'm fucking around. All right, so that's that, man.
You better be good to me.
Now, let me get this fucking thing. Let's get this shit on the road here, man. Fuck. Marty Glickman was the voice of the New York Giants. And they're showing a period here in Lombardi's life when he was an assistant coach of the New York Giants. That was a hell of a time in the New York Giants. when Lombardi was the offensive coordinator and Tom Landry was the defensive coordinator. Can you imagine that? And the head coach of that fucking team, I forget what his name was, Jim Lee Howell. And Jim Lee Howell was about as, he was as worthless as tits on a fucking bull. Here's Frank Gifford talking about how they used to give Lombardi shit. Until, because Lombardi came in real gung-ho, and he was going to kick ass, and he was going to take names as a pro coach. And the giant veterans didn't really pay much attention to him. He's just, this guy's gung-ho college shit was fine for college, but these guys were professionals, and they didn't need this shit. And Lombardi, so Gifford tells the story, Lombardi stopped by Gifford, and Gifford was rooming with Charlie Connerly, who was the quarterback. And he stopped by their room one night on the road, and he asked him point blank, he said, what am I doing wrong? You know, what would you guys suggest? And so they had a, you know, discussion, and from that point forward, things were beautiful. Things worked out with the Lombardi in the offense. And you know, then he became a professional coach, which meant Lombardi's technique as a professional coach was to be hard charging and hard driving and never let up and be really strict and be a disciplinarian, but also to acknowledge the professionalism of the men on the on his team. Professionals should not have to be motivated, you know? I mean, I'm, that's not me. That's what I've heard pro coaches say. These guys are pros, so they don't need to be. If I gotta motivate them, then I don't want them on my team, is what I've heard a lot of coaches say. You know, you shouldn't have to motivate. You can remind them what's at stake. You can remind them of how hard they've worked. You can remind them of everything that they've done positive, but you don't sit there and treat them like they're, you know, little leaguers. And Lombardi learned that with the New York Giants. And eventually, when he did become a coach with the New York Giants, he was in charge. I mean, with the Green Bay Packers, he was in charge. He took that Packer job, and he essentially told the Packer board, which is, of course, as you know, the Green Bay Packers are publicly held, so they have a board. They have an administrative board of some kind. And that was a great shot. God, I wish I would have shown you that. They had a really cool shot of practice. And he said to them, when they suggested some things, he said, thank you. And apparently they came, they were in the grandstands one day, and they walked down to Lombardi, and they had notes, and they gave Lombardi their notes. Here are our notes. Here's some things the guys want to see. Lombardi took it and just crumbled it up. He said, I'm coaching the fucking team. I'm the general manager of the team. Lombardi had both jobs, general manager and coach. He said, and you guys can now stick it, you know, park it back up there. So the first year he was head coach with the Packers, they had a winning record for the first time in God knows how many years. The second year he coached the Green Bay Packers, they went to the NFL championship game and lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. And when they went into the locker room after the game was over, this is the second year with the Green Bay Packers. And understand, before Lombardi got there, they sucked. They stunk. The Packers hadn't been good since the 30s when they had Don Hutson and those teams. And Curly Lambeau, and, you know, I mean, we're going back to leather helmets and shit. He took those Packers from a losing record. I think they'd only won like one or maybe one game the year before, or two games, and he got them to at least a winning percentage. And then his second year, which was the 1960 season, he got them all the way to he coached them to the National Football League Championship game against Norm Van Brocklin and the Philadelphia Eagles, and they lost that game. But Lombardi said to them in the locker room after, he said, that's the last championship game you'll ever lose. He said, you'll never lose another one. That's been repeated many times, repeated in this documentary. I read it in his biography, and I also heard it in, you know, preceding years from a variety of sources. He said to the Packers that day, after that game, that's the last championship game you're ever going to lose. And then he said, you know, and the joke is that he said, that's the last one you'll ever play in, too. No, he didn't. And he was right. They never lost another championship game. Packers played in five more, and they won them all. I should say five more. The Packers actually played in five more. Yeah, they played in five more NFL championship games But they also played in an additional two games, the Super Bowls. So you could, it could be argued that they won the three NFL championships outright for the world title. And then they won an additional two NFL championships as semifinal championships before they went to the new final, which was the Super Bowl, and they won the first two of those. And they won the first two Super Bowls blowing the fucking doors off both teams, the Chiefs and the Raiders. They kicked their fucking asses. All right. That's all I got, man. What do you say we get this show on the road, huh? I think we should. Because I don't have no truth, and I don't have anything for what you loosely call loose poo soup, and you better be funky to me.
Better be good.
I think Margaret ought to sing that, don't you? I think she should. Let me write that down. I get that up note here. Oh, yes, I'm touched by the show of emotion, of devotion, of dove lotion. I never know how to spell karaoke, and then I realize that it's pretty much spelled the way it sounds, you know? Every second, every minute. All right, here we go, man. This I hope that this motherfucker... when it says karaoke, motherfuckers, it ain't supposed to have... What is this?
Keys?
It's not supposed to have the other motherfucker singing in it. It's supposed to be music only.
Oh, this is it. This is Tina Turner, yeah. I'll be singing this weekend at the Muscle Bucket in Long Beach, California. Frank has booked me into. I don't really like a lot of these places that Frank books me into, but...
Prisoner of your love.
Why in the... This is not karaoke.
In your web, in your web. Hot whispers in the night. I'm captured by your spell.
Hit it! Yeah. Hey, bitch.
Oh, yes.
No, bitch. No, bitch. Bitch, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will be opening my show on Saturday night at the Muscle Bucket in San Pedro, California. A beautiful, just a very cozy dinner spot. They, prisoner of your love. Entangled in your web. Hot whispers in the night. I'm captured by your spell. Capture!
God damn!
Oh yes, I'm touched by the show of emotion. Should I be... What is that? What is that?
It sounds like some alien that's whispering in your ear.
Well, I don't like it, but you tell it to shut up. Better be good to me.
Yeah!
That's how it's got to be.
All right. That ain't it. That ain't it, man. That ain't it. But that's it. You know what I'm saying? That is it. Okay. All right, I'm all ready to rock this bitch. Burn this bitch down!
Excuse me.
My name is Gary Pipe.
All right, let's see here. I got a good one here for you, man. I got some great stuff here. You're going to love this. Daily audio. Okay. Oh, bitch. Bitch, please. Bitch, please. Baby, please don't say no to me. I never hurt you. Boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. Someone else will really hurt you. Baby, please don't say no to me. I've given you my money and loving too. I've done everything that a fool would do to try to keep you happy and satisfied. I want you by my side. Baby, please.
Oh, look at this man. See, this will turn it up and everything like that, see?
Yeah, Phil, I've been the manager at Blue Rug now for about 4 years. It's a lot of fun. I really like it.
All right, here we go. Gary Pipe, who's the, are you ready? And. All right, bitch. I'm ready to go, man. Yeah, here we go. Where's this empire?